Are you ready to exist boldly? I'm Leanne Scheer, lifestyle coach, founder of Cycle District, and gym owner times two. Welcome to Undone and Uncensored.
Happy, happy November. It's one of my favorite months of the year, and most definitely not for the weather. I am definitely a summer, spring girl, but I love the idea of really focusing on gratitude, although I try to do that in my daily practice. November for me is always means yummy food and family and holiday. It's just the buildup to the end of the year, and it has always been one of my favorite months. However, I would love it if it was warm, contrary to what most of you would prefer. I know I talk to you all the time, and you're like, oh my God, I love it when it's dark and cold, and my body is just like, please give me light and sunshine, and I don't want the cloudiness and the cold. But that's typical for a lot of us, I think, to feel better during different times of weather. So if you are one of those fall, winter people, it's your time to shine, people. And if you're not, make sure that you're really working on grounding and getting out in the sun when there is some, maybe using some type of light therapy. I know it's always been super helpful for me until I get back around to those months that I feel better in. Well, I have been promising you a podcast on listening. And when I sat down to really plan out what I would be talking about and what some of my experiences have been in the past, I realized that the art of listening is more than just, it doesn't really kind of depend on what's happening around you, who the person is talking to you, although it shouldn't. Based on how we're being spoken to, we may be learning to listen in a different way. So I'm going to start talking about listening in the sense of somebody coming to you for advice. And because I have this one happen for me a lot. And I have some ideas for how we can at least, I was going back through, I saved notes about listening. And I don't remember where I was. I feel like I may have been in New York at an ink conference, women's ink conference. So I attempted to Google the notes that I had taken, which basically the premise is you're either preparing, fixing, or comparing, typically when you're trying to listen. And to try and find the author, I can't stand. I've learned from so many different people over the years. And one of my biggest takeaways for myself is to really try and give credit where credit's due, whether that's a good friend of mine, whether that's been a mentor of mine, somebody that I've read a book from, somebody who told me about a book. It's really important to me to give credit where credit's due. I Googled trying to find who the original author was. I believe I was, there was a woman speaking about actively listening, but I honestly couldn't find anything on it. So if anybody does know who this is or if it rings a bell, I'd be happy to add it into my podcast notes. It's super important to me. So the idea was if we are listening with an empty, acting as an empty vessel, a receiving container, how many of us do that? If you think back to the three things I talked about, preparing, I've done all three of these on a regular basis. Somebody's talking to me and I'm preparing what I'm going to say back. And I think preparing is something that works really well or in most situations. Somebody's talking to us and we're listening less to what they're saying and more to what we're going to say back, either defend ourselves, why that might have been the case. Maybe it's preparing this great piece of advice for them, but we stop listening when our brain reverts to this incredible thing that we're going to say, either to protect ourselves and or to give advice to someone else. So I know that for me, this is something that I do often. Fixing is one that I think a lot of people do if they're maternal in nature, somebody starts talking to you. And instead of really listening and hearing what they're saying to you, we're already in a process of how can I fix this person? How can I make this person feel better? What can I say to fix it? I know I think I've talked about this in a podcast, but my sister being a year older than me and being asked to take care of me when she was, we'd go off to school and my mom did what most parents would do and say, take care of your little sister. And so I think Nancy grew up and when, whether it was just that or just her having the personality where she would want to take care of me, she always felt the need to fix anything that I had going on. So I used to call her when we were, after we were adults, and I'd be going on and on. I think at one point, this happened when she was working at the gym with me, and I was stressed out about something. I didn't know how to fix something. And I'm going on and on and on to her about it. And she said, "Leanne, I can't fix this for you. I don't know how to fix it." And it was the first time that I realized that she was listening, feeling the importance and the need that I needed her to fix what I was talking about. And I didn't really need her to fix it. I needed to be heard. I needed a sounding board. And that was a huge time for my sister and I, because we were able to have a completely different relationship after that. I often still start conversations with her that start with, "I need to talk about something. I don't need you to fix it." We do that less and less now, because I think I know more now that she's going to be in that mode a little bit. And she knows more now that I'm probably just running my mouth and need somebody to listen to me. But it really was a huge growth in our relationship when she was able to say, "I feel like I have to fix this for you, and I don't know how." So, which brings me to the, where I'm going to go over the one more, which is comparing. I'm also guilty of this. Somebody's telling me their story, and I've already gone through it, and I know what I did, and I know how I fixed it. And it's almost can come across, if you're not careful, as like one-upping. "Oh girl, I understand. I got you. You don't know what happened to me. Let me tell you my story," which can be, in certain contexts, a good way to help someone after you're done listening, after you have fully listened to what they're saying. So think about actively listening, being an empty vessel, a receiving container, patient and mindfully aware of the chatter going on in your own brain. Quiet your own agenda. Now try to do this. Spend this day trying to quiet your agenda when people are talking to you. Our brain's natural response, well, I should say mine for sure, is to constantly be in thinking mode. So for me to take a big deep breath and really take, I know for me, if I really look at somebody in the eyes, not creepily, not in a creepy way, but just like can get centered more, it helps me a little bit calm my chatter down, because my brain is going 100 miles an hour. It's chattering, it's preparing, it's fixing, it's thinking about a story when I went through this before, which all at some point in time might be beneficial. But am I really listening if my mode and my gear is in one of those other three places? And the answer is no. So quiet your own agenda. Deep breaths, really taking the time. I want to hear what this person is saying to me. I have this happen to me. Sometimes I have a tendency to disassociate if I have a lot on my mind. I learned that as a kid to get through life. And so it just kind of comes natural to me. If I, you have a child, you know, the meme with the kid going, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." And the mom's like completely zoned out. I feel like I've been that mom so many times where you have kids really excited to talk to you about their day, and you've got your life going on or your work or something's going on in your head, and you want to actually hear it. For me, I know I wanted to hear with it. There was times when it was annoying and I was just kind of checked out. But for the most part, when I disassociate like that, it's unintentional. All of a sudden, I'm thinking about something else. And I all of a sudden I'll be like, wait, hold on. I do this all the time to them now. I'm so sorry. I got distracted. I really want to hear what you're saying to me. I do this if I'm trying to read emails or be on the phone while I'm talking to someone on the phone. It's really important for me to turn everything upside down. Anything that could take my attention away, my phone, my computer, and really just focus on listening to the person in front of me. So to go back to what I was going to say when I was talking about Nancy and her saying, "I don't know how to fix this," and me understanding that that's how she felt. One of the things that has really helped me with listening and quieting my own mind is asking the person, when they start talking and I understand that it's something really important to them or something that they need advice for, or they just really need to be heard, can I stop you for a minute and ask you what you need from me right now? Do you need a sounding board, a person just to listen to what you're going through? Do you want advice from me? Because once I know that answer, it's a lot easier for me to prepare my brain for what I need to be doing. Even though, again, the goal is always just an empty vessel, noticing the thoughts as they come in, trying to really stay focused on the person in front of me. And I'll tell you, as I don't know if this sounds simple to you, but I really find this practice to be incredibly challenging. It is one I have to work on every single time somebody's sitting down in front of me with something important. I have to stop myself from interrupting. I have a tendency to be afraid I'm going to forget the really great thing that I have to say to them that's going to completely change their life. And so I have a tendency to interrupt. And when I notice that, I always try to say, I'm really sorry for interrupting you. I really wanted to hear what you were saying. I'm just going to jot a note down really quick. And in my job, I'm able to do that working with people. But I think it's okay to say to even, I'm going to say this one word. Will you remind me after you're done talking what I want to talk to you about? Surprisingly, as I've said before, when I had my brain scan, it did not show signs of attention deficit disorder. But I have operated with my brain thinking so quickly. As a matter of fact, the psychologist that was going over my brain scan results was asking me about something that was concerning for me in my life. And I said, well, let me explain to you. And I went off on this probably 3 or 4 minute tangent, kind of knowing in the back of my head that it was irrelevant. But like just trying to shoot it in there so he understood that there wasn't anything wrong with me, like what other people had done. It was very like, almost like a defense mechanism thing. And I said, so at some point I caught myself and I said, well, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that? And he got quiet for a minute. We were on a video call and he said, I think you have a very complicated brain and it probably takes a lot of your energy. And what he meant by that when we continued to talk about it is that my brain thinks very quickly. It's actually very strong and very analytical. And if I'm not careful, I complicate by overthinking every little thing, by not simplifying things. I think that has geared me to look more like I have attention deficit disorder, but it's really not. It's the need to learn how to get quiet. And this, you can teach yourself this. I definitely interrupt people less than I used to. Now, if I've interrupted you more than a couple of times in my last conversation, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I struggle with it every time. But the difference is I call myself out and I ask for help to remember what is really important for me to say. It's also, when you're interrupting someone, a good point in time for you to recognize that you are not actively listening to what somebody has to say right then. As important as your point may be, if you're thinking about what you're going to say back, you are not listening and you're probably missing really important information that they're trying to share with you. Now, on a coaching basis or a friendship basis with somebody giving you advice, some of that might be okay because you can kind of come back around to it. You kind of get an innate feeling for who your friends are, who your clients are. In a perfect world, you'd always be actively listening, but it's a little bit easier to come back around and really understand and give the proper information back if in fact they're looking for something back for you. So many times with me, I just go off on the, if my feelings are really hurt or if I'm really angry, if I'm really sad, I just like almost feel it, to me it almost feels like mouth vomit where I'm just like, I just want somebody to hear me. I just want to talk to someone and tell them about what I'm going through and how I feel. Most of the time I know that they can't fix that. Most of the time when I'm in a space like that, there's not just an easy pat answer. And that's probably true for you too. Sometimes we simply just need to talk. We just need to tell somebody how we're feeling and have the person say, wow, that's a lot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're going through that. And I really strive to be that kind of friend and parent and wife. And for sure have really had a challenge with it my whole life. I would be lying if I said that I, at some point, I've like succeeded. Every day I try and be better. And for the most part, I feel like I'm doing better and I feel more confident and comfortable in my listening skills. And at least, if nothing else, my ability to recognize it when it's happening, apologize, fix it, and move forward from there. So let's take that from friendship, listening, to you're listening to somebody who's angry with you or upset with you. That's a whole nother ball game, right? We're probably in that moment preparing what we're going to say back. Almost always, we're probably not trying to fix it. Maybe, depending on what's happening. But I mean, if we don't want to be involved in the argument, we might be like, how can I get this person to just shut up? So you might be in that mode of like fixing, how can I get them to understand that what I did was not intentional or that how they feel is not real? Again, not listening, right? Because how they feel is exactly their reality, regardless of how you feel and what your reality is. So when we're talking about communication, listening and communication, and people that were, you know, whether it's people that we work with or people that we have relationships with any kind, and there's an argument happening, then at that point, I think the best thing to do that I have found over the years is to listen. And this one's tough, especially if people are, you know, emotional, because when, I don't know about you, but when somebody's emotionally charged at me, I tend to feel emotionally charged back. But if we can keep our mind open and listen to what they're saying, if it's appropriate, like if somebody's screaming and yelling obscenities at you or attacking you, that conversation needs to happen at a later time. That is not, nobody's communicating when you're being attacked. And that's one thing. When you're in fight mode, nobody's communicating. I've got a friend named Linda that has given me some really good advice when I was 18 years old. I don't think I've shared it with you yet, and I'm going to share it at the end of this. But just to notice that when it's not a friendship conversation, it's not listening to your coworker and getting to, you know, a simple conflict resolution, but it's something that high emotions are involved, I think it's really important to try to stop the conversation completely with, hey, let's both take, I feel like you're really upset right now. I need a minute. I'm feeling really defensive. I'm not sure what's happening. Can we put a pin in it? Jonathan and I always do that. Like, let's put a pin in it when we're about ready to kill each other. Like those daggers are looking at each other. It's like, oh, you're driving me crazy. And we're in, neither one of us are in the right frame of mind to continue that conversation, a pin in it, as long as you come back to it at some point, because we've had a lot of pins in it where it just like got forgotten and then came back up several years later. Those are no good. You got to put a pin in it and then come back to it when the emotion's not so high and try again. And maybe you got to pin it a couple of times. But for me, and this is my friend Linda, gave me this advice when I was 18 years old, and I'll never forget it. She said, anytime you're really upset and you want to leave, let's say you want to leave a relationship, you want to leave your job, you want to move away, just like you've had it, wait 3 days. Wait 3 days and see if at that end of that 3 days, you feel the same way. And if you do, great. Start working towards that action plan for yourself. I can't think of a time that I had this like really high emotional intensity about something that I felt the same way about it 3 days later. I just didn't. It kind of's like the, I know I talked about this in a podcast before, but when I was working with Robin at the Battered Woman Shelter, and she said, when you go to discipline your child, do it when you're not angry. And if you still want to reach down and smack them to try and get them to stop doing what they're doing or yell at them, then do it. That never happened. If you aren't acting in anger response, if you are leaving your emotion out of how you're parenting your child and you wait and give yourself time. I've locked myself in bathrooms before. and just thought, I need to breathe. I need to be not upset anymore. How I disciplined after that was always very, very different than if it was a knee-jerk reaction. And for me, it was yelling, like, you better knock it off, giving them, you know, those mom eyes and I'm sure yelling and being inappropriate. If you can step back, it's the same is true in your relationships or any kind of heated conversation. If you can step back and wait. Now, let's say maybe the next day you have a different, you're coming from a different place. Maybe you had a good night's sleep and you wake up and maybe understand their perception a little bit more. Or better yet, call them up and say, I still don't understand this, but I feel a little bit more calm. Can we try this again? I have some questions. I'm not sure where you're coming from. You are going to find that there's times that people want to fight and they want to be right. And it doesn't matter what you say or what you do or what questions you ask. You'll notice they won't even answer your questions. They'll come back with an attack. You are not in a position to be communicating with that person. That is not a conversation that can happen. It's not going to get anywhere. It's like talking to a drunk person or, you know, somebody who's determined to be right. It doesn't matter what you say or do. It's probably until they're willing to be in a different place and a different mindset to have this conversation with you. It doesn't matter if you're sorry, what you think, what you thought, why you did it. It just simply doesn't matter. Same would go for somebody who is drinking, right? On drugs. You're talking to a wall. You're talking to somebody who's not even 100% there. Why waste your breath? And honestly, life is more about preparing for what is, and this is boundaries. And again, boundaries are not me telling you what's okay for you to do with for, to me. Boundaries are me walking away from things that aren't okay to be around. I don't get to say to you, I'm going to have a boundary that you will not be yelling at me. My boundary when I go in to have a conversation with you might be for myself. If this gets heated, if the exchange gets abusive, I will not stay in the room. That's me. That's me protecting myself and my own boundaries. The other thing that I want to say about communicating and listening, we do so much communicating with people through body language and through people, strangers. I'm talking about strangers right now. People, have you ever stopped and just looked at people going through the grocery store, like really taking the time to see who stopped and looked at you and smiled? Maybe they needed a smile back that day. People who are talking to you, and I've had this happen where maybe not the most appropriate time that I might be like trying to hurry through the grocery store to get something done. And there's an elderly person there that stops and asks me a question because they think I work there and then they want to have a conversation. Me taking a minute of my life to listen might be one of the most important things that I do for them that day. And as we're going through November and thinking about gratitude and giving, I think it's highly unrecognized how important it is to give those smiles, to give that time to people, to take the time to even look up at somebody in their face, even when you're driving by them, giving them a little wave or whatever. We can change this world. It's so underrated. I'm sure of it because I feel like I've walked into, it changes me when I am focused on helping, giving, and changing. And then at the same time, protecting myself and protecting my own boundaries and learning to stay calm. And I think the thing about listening, it takes calmness, right? The thing about communication, it takes calmness. When you're calm, when your emotions are level, when you've waited that 3 days, if they're not, God, we're human beings. Of course, you're going to be in times where your fight or flight is completely engaged and you feel attacked and you are, you know, maybe you really made a mistake and you are in full defense mode. Like, just take a minute to breathe. You're a human being. We're going to make mistakes. Take that time to breathe. Take that time. If those people that love you and that are important in your life, they're going to be able to hear you and listen. Maybe they need their 3 days. It is really a rule in any big situation in my life that I have lived by. Thank you, Linda. I would tell you her last name, but she just got married, so I don't know. I can't remember it off the top of my head. And then again, just to wrap to the end of this and to do a summary, I think one of the most important things when somebody comes to you to talk, two most important things. One, if it's for advice, what do you need from me right now? Do you want my advice or do you just want, you need somebody to listen? Two, if it's something that you don't understand, having the ability to keep your mind calm and ask questions. Keep asking questions. Ask questions until you understand. What do you want the outcome to be of this conversation? That's a good question to ask someone else too that's angry, because if their outcome is just to tell you off, you don't need to stand there anymore. You're not a part of the conversation. It's not necessary for you to be there. They can go do that somewhere else till they feel better. And then when they're ready to communicate, come back and have a conversation with you. So I have some exciting podcasts coming up. I can't wait to share them with you. And I will be back with you next week. Have a good week. Thanks for listening today. Book a coaching session or purchase merch at www.undoneanduncensored.com or give me a follow on the gram, Undone and Uncensored. Have a great week.